Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A Radio.com sports station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the Radio.com app, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Chuck and Winkler, good morning. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, Nick Bodie producing. Chuck will be back on Monday if we make it out of today alive. Like the mind flares out there. Looks like the upside down, little Stranger Things outside this morning.
2 days in a row, actually. Yesterday when I was walking into the building, we had lightning strikes. Pretty much hitting the building.
Yeah, what happened there?
My wife was dropping me off, and we were talking, and all of a sudden, a big lightning bolt just hit, like, the top of the building, and she's like, you know what, maybe I'll pull up a little bit closer, and you should just jump right out and run into the building.
Was there, like, a fire or a spark or anything?
It was crazy. I was like, what do you think we should eat for?
Oh, okay, because you had mentioned that yesterday, and I sort of, like, ignored it, and
right.
Now I'm thinking, hey, I kind of want to know more about that. If lightning hit the building, I'd like more details.
Yeah, we were both like, did you see that? And then I figured, are we going to be on air today? That's what I asked her. I was like, man, I wonder if that's going to knock out the electricity or take us off air, but we were all good.
Ryan, we've had hosts get hit by lightning, and we were still on the air, baby.
I was going to say.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Bill.
I was going to say, if I got struck by lightning, I probably got a 1% chance at survival. I'm not the big unit, but.
Yeah, the lightning somehow makes Bill stronger for some reason. No, it was a real ominous morning because even driving in, my neighbor's garage door was wide open. It never is. And his grill, he was grilling last night, and his grill's still, like, out.
Did you go check on him?
I will when I get home.
You brought up Stranger Things. That'd be some crazy
stuff. He's a younger guy.
Okay.
He's a younger guy, but that was weird. And then there's a dry cleaner near me, and they've got all their lights on, like, open, and they're not open.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, it was just a weird morning, and then it looked like coming in, it looked like Stranger Things, so... It's supposed to be super hot today, so just, hey, be safe and check on your neighbor, and I actually do need to check on my neighbor.
I was going to say, if you know anybody that's elderly, please go check on them. Make sure they have plenty of bread and water.
Right, that's
like
the required thing that we need to say today. Those of you that went to bed early last night, or at least at your normal time, the Brewers did end up winning the game last night, 5-1. The Brewers get the victory. Zach Davies looking very good, gets his 8th win of the year, goes 7. Doesn't strike out anybody. The last Brewer to do that, go 7 innings and not have a strikeout, was Zach Davies. But he did it again last night, gave up just the 1 earned run, 5 hits, so he looked better. Got to go through an order for the 3rd time, which is like impossible to do these days. Did give up again, as I mentioned, 5 hits, but reached that 99 pitch mark. So look at that. Maybe we don't need to go and trade for a guy. If you can get performances like this, that's all I'm asking for. The 1 earned run, fine. That's nice. But I'm just looking at innings and pitches. And can you get me 7 innings? Can they go the normal 100 pitches? Can they go the 3rd time through the order? Right now, Council seems to trust Woodruff with that. Sort of Davies and nobody else. But Davies, Horvath, gets it done last night.
Yeah, 8-2 now on the season. So as I talked yesterday about not wanting to watch any out-of-market baseball, last night I'm watching 3 games at the same time. So I'm watching Zach Davies, and I'm saying, you know what? This could be a guy that I could trust in the postseason to give the ball game 1 of a series, right? But as I'm watching that, I'm also watching 2 potential trade targets in Thor and Bumgarner, both go 9 innings yesterday in a 1-1 game. And I was like, man, if you add one of them with Davies and Woodruff, I think that the Brewers would be the favorite still in the NL Central. I said this a couple months back. I said, you know, there's going to be a point in the season where the Brewers may lose 9 in a row. And, you know, that might not be the case. Maybe you'll just lose 10 to 12 or 12 to 13.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And the next closest thing besides 9 in a row.
Right. And
they've done it.
And even Freems was like, no, I mean, if you lose 9 in a row, you're finished. But it's just not the case this season with so much parity in the NL Central. I mean, we had Ben Davis on the other day, and he said, I think the NL Central is just that good. I don't know if it's that good or if it's that bad, but any team has a shot. And as I'm watching that yesterday, I'm like, man, if you have three starters like that, if you were able to bring in a guy like Bumgarner or Thor and potentially get a Will Smith or maybe even a smaller name or not as big of a name to come in and be a closer, I don't know. I think the Brewers would still be the favorites in the Central because as good as the Cubs are playing right now, they just don't win on the road. I mean, well, they're great at Wrigley Field, but...
And if you look at what the Brewers have, and you could ask any team, would you want this? Would you want an all-star starting pitcher? Would you want an MVP top two candidate and an all-star? Would you want another all-star infielder and then an all-star catcher and then an all-star reliever who closes? We'll give you five all-stars. You try to come up with the rest of the team around that.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else, I think, would have a better time. And the Brewers at this point... Those other 20 guys have been mediocre. You've had guys do well and then fade off. You've had guys fade off and then do well and then back and forth. But if you can get this from Zach Davies, if Lorenzo Cain, who's been playing better this week, can do that, now you've got Keston Hira finally up, it looks like, full-time in the big leagues. You could put a little bit of a run together. I would still not rule out the sell argument or at least the try to improve this year, but also next year. And the reason I still might go back to that is the two guys on the one-year deal. If you don't think you're going to win the World Series and you don't think you're going to sign them multi-year, maybe you do look at doing something with Moustakas and Grandal, but still you can trade Moustakas for like a pitcher. There's things that the Brewers still do. If anything, having Moustakas and Grandal in one-year deals doesn't make them sellers. It just gives them options that they should not hang up the phone when people call to explore those options. So where the Brewers are at now, a much better spot than they were a couple days ago, still chasing the Cubs in the NL Central. The Chicago Cubs were idle yesterday. The Brewers two back in the Central. And then if the season ended today, they would have a wild card spot. But a three-game win streak here, a much better week so far for the Milwaukee Brewers as the series with the Diamondbacks continues tonight.
Yeah, nice three-game winning streak. Cubs also have won their last two, and now it feels like everything's starting to come into place because Pittsburgh, they lost the other night. Cincinnati's
right.
Lost.
They're losing. The Cardinals are winning.
I know that's
the
thing.
So the three teams now are at least separating themselves from Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, which we did talk about quite a bit during the All-Star break, if they were in it, if they were not in it. It appears now that these two teams are not in it.
I just feel like you have to go all in again this season because even if you try to sustain success and you trade a guy like Moustakas, which I would never do, for some more pitching, I just feel like, I mean, who's to say, though, that you're going to be back in this position two games out of first place next season or the season after that just because of injuries and just, I mean, we see it in baseball. Like, you see the year that Lorenzo Cain had last year. I'm talking about at the plate. Defensively, real quick, as we watch him last night, I mean, how this has to be the season Lorenzo Cain wins a Gold Glove, right? There's no way you can't give him a Gold Glove after what he does in the field.
You know, he's made some incredible catches, and last night was a really good night. He robbed a home run and then had another one that I thought was going to drop, and somehow he just, like, last second extended his arm.
It's, like, effortless.
But in the last couple of weeks, he's also, there's been some balls that maybe he misplayed or dropped in front of him.
Right.
So I don't know if it's... We see, like, if you're voting for the Gold Glove, you see the highlights.
Yeah.
But then if you're watching each and every night, you might see a blunder. As long as he has enough highlights that you can see instead of the blunders, I mean, you'll be fine. I'm just saying, Lorenzo Cain is not a 100% perfect all the time outfielder. He does make mistakes.
Well, I mean, Andrew Jones did too. And when I think of great defensive outfielders.
But if he's going to win it one year, it should be this year. With all the different highlights that he has made.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I mean, I just feel like, though, when you're this close, because it's just so tough to get back in, even into this position. I mean, how many years were you watching Brewers baseball where you were like, man, I just wish we were in contendership when you're sitting in the basement of the NL Central and you're in last place and you're 15 games out in July already, and it's like, there's no reason really to watch this. Why am I watching this? To see which prospects are going to pan out? So I just feel like when you're in this position, and last night's a great example because everybody's, oh, Madison Bumgarner, his best days are behind him. And then you watch him go nine innings last night, and you're like, I don't know, I think he just needs a change of scenery. I know you don't want that because the Giants continue to roll, continue to win. But Thor last night, and I know he's been hampered by injuries the past few seasons. In fact, a lot of guys on that Mets pitching staff, outside of DeGrom, who they're not going to trade. But I'm like, man, I think the Brewers are still just one piece away. A starting pitcher.
One piece away?
A starting pitcher and a closer. Yeah, because I feel like you could.
That's two pieces.
I feel like you could win in the postseason with limited offense. Like, look how the Brewers beat the Cubs last season. It was always small ball because the Cubs go all lefties against the Brewers. They struggle the first three times around in the batting lineup, and then they get the big hit, right, to win 2-1 or 3-2. You bring in Hader. Nobody could figure him out still. You look at the Cardinals. I always worry about the Cardinals. Historically, I will always worry about the Cardinals. They ruined my youth by just being so damn good in the Central. But it's like I don't see the Cardinals going on a run. So I feel like, yeah, you're a piece or two away. Even Orlando Arcia stepping up a little bit with the bat last night. And I was talking yesterday about upgrading at the shortstop position. I feel like guys are going to figure it out. And a piece or two. You do need a closer. I agree with Tim Allen on that. In the beginning of the season, I was like, nah, you just need a starting pitcher because you could put Josh Hader. You could pick and choose your matchups. I trusted Jeremy Jeffress a little bit more than I probably should, although he looked pretty good last night. So, yeah, I'd say
he looked all right last night. He's still
You think with an ace,
laboring.
With a Bumgarner or, you know, Thor, you think in a closer, you still would have the Cubs winning this division by a landslide?
That's a really good question.
Because I think the Brewers are automatically the favorite. Let's say they make this Will. I keep reading about Will Smith. It's
pretty. They've been so bad as of late.
And the other thing that's driving me
I don't want to get sucked into a 3-game win streak.
Get sucked in. I mean, you're right. You're right
on
there.
Monday,
you're
I'm talking
out.
About this team selling. I don't want to watch them win 3 games in a row and then say, yeah, we're Madison Bumgarner away from a World Series. I don't believe that.
This is like the Aaron Rodgers stuff. Like, if you're not rooting for the team, what's the point of being a fan, though? This is the time. You're 2 games out of it. This is the best time of the year right now.
I am rooting for the team, but if they're not going to win the World Series, then why not just stock up for next year?
And hear me out. You're 2 games out right now, and everything's right in front of you. Last night has me sold because that's a huge win because that's you get done with the home series, right? You finally... You get a W, and then you get on that long flight. And historically, you play bad in that first game. I expected maybe the Brewers to pull off a win tonight, maybe Saturday, but I expected them to lose that game last night. In fact, I threw a couple dollars on it, and that's why I'm in a bad mood this morning because of the Diamondbacks.
I almost feel like you're overcompensating the Brewers.
That's a big win, though. Game one, long road trip, and they came out, and they didn't half-ass it.
The Diamondbacks are as mediocre as the Brewers are.
Right, but I mean, okay, but you've lost series. You've lost to the Marlins at home.
There's still 3 games left in the series.
I'm saying you're 2 games out of it. I think you could take this series in Arizona, and then everything's right in front of you because you have the Cubs next weekend, and you have the Cubs at Miller Park. The Cubs are only winning it at Wrigley Field. Like, they just won their first series in the past month.
Miller Park, Wrigley Field. What's the difference, Horvath?
You know, I mean, the Cubs are on fire right now, but the Cubs also just got done playing the Pirates and the Reds, who I just said are coming back down to earth. Pittsburgh now 5 games below 500. Cincinnati 43-51 on the season. So things are starting to even out a little bit here. I'm telling you, the Brewers, everything's right in front of you.
Tim is in Fredonia at 799-1250. Tim, what's up, buddy? Good morning.
Gentlemen, I just don't trust that team. No, Horby, you're right. The Brewers had a bridge last year. They need a closer. You're right. They had Knable, and they could throw Jeffress in there when he was pitching decent, but they don't have that bridge anymore, so Hader is way overworked because they could interchange those two last year in the ninth, depending on who was hot or whatever, what was coming up the bat. But I just don't trust this team. They put the prom queen in front of you all the time, and then, boom, just yank her away. You know, so it's just 3 games in a row. You're right, Bart. All of a sudden, we're one piece away from the World Series off a 3-game win streak. I don't believe it.
Two pieces.
I do admire your enthusiasm. I'm going to call you the Tim Allen of the morning show. You're the ultimate optimist with this team. But I said, they struck lightning in a bottle with Chassin last year, pitching great. And, you know, everything fell right for them. I'm not saying they didn't have a good team, a good year. They did. But to duplicate that again is going to be tough, even if they would go out and get another starter. I just don't see the consistency. Now, you can call me a liar, guys, but I don't know. So I don't know what you're thinking, but.
I think what happened last night, Tim, is that Horvath put some money on the Brewers to lose last night.
Yeah, took the Diamondbacks.
Okay. And so you feel bad about it, so you're like overcompensating how good you think the Brewers are.
This is untrue. I've been telling you guys.
You're justifying this.
No, I've been saying this the past few weeks. Everybody's crazy with this sell talk. It's nuts. You're two games out of the division. Look at the Cubs payroll. You're right there. And then the other thing is I have people messaging me and talking to me about Craig Counsell. I'm like, what do you think about Counsell? And I'm like, I think he's a great manager. Who does more with less than Craig Counsell?
Yeah.
Because as we talked about, the Knebel injury ended up being bigger than we thought because of Jeffress not being the same as last season. I think we're being a little hard on Josh Hader even because he rarely gets hit. Just when he does get hit, unfortunately, leaves the ballpark. But yeah, you're overcompensating. You're using him way too much. And you don't get to pick your spots the same way you did last year because he's the only guy in that bullpen you can trust. I mean, unfortunately, nobody has an ERA below 2. You know, coming out of the bullpen, historically. So you have to look at Josh Hader and say he's still pretty damn good. I don't know. I think the Brewers still have just as good of a shot at winning the division as the Cubs.
Are they a piece or two away? 799-1250, 414-799-1250. That's Ryan Horvath. I'm Bart Winkler. We'll catch you up, too, on everything else that you missed while you were sleeping, including what's going on in Northern Ireland right now at the Open Championship and the Brewers getting the 5-1 victory over the Diamondbacks last night. It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Now, it's Chuck and Winkler's Brew Crew Review, brought to you by Bofording Beer. Bofording is Milwaukee's smooth drinking import. Try it at your nearest Total Wine location. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
They have dropped, and Escobar, first pitch, Hackett, lifts one deep into right center field. Kane going back at the wall. He did it again. Lorenzo Cain with a not tonight already. All year long, Lorenzo Cain makes plays like that. Gold glove quality again.
The robbing the home run play and then the out at the plate from an outfielder or a relay throw are just such game changers. It just changes the momentum of games so much. And so, you know, it changes everything. So there are huge plays in games. And I think you look at plays like that and they change outcomes in the end.
Craig Counsell after the game. Touchdown Wisconsin on Fox Sports Wisconsin. Brewers get the 5-1 victory last night. You may have dozed off. It may have been 1-1. Zach Davies, very steadily getting through 7 innings. Didn't strike out anybody. Lowered his ERA down to 2.79. Orlando Arcia, a big single in the 8th inning. And a couple more guys were able to get through after that. Braun adding an insurance run in the 9th with a 418-foot home run. Jefferson Albers locking it down. Brewers get the 5-1 victory. So naturally, talking about the Milwaukee Brewers, and just a few days ago, I wouldn't say we were in sell mode, the last thing I want to do is go, they won, buy, they lost, sell, they won, buy, they lost, sell. I think where the Brewers are at right now, I still think all options are on the table, and you can still sell and buy at the same time. And what I mean by that is the 2 1-year contracts, but also a lot of times I say Grandal and I say Moose have the one-year contracts, and that's what they were signed to. But Chacin's coming up, and Thames is coming up, and even Chase Anderson, Robert Murray was talking about, could get moved if a team wanted to go for that. So there, I think that where the Brewers should be right now is keep all options on the table. Horvath says they're just a piece of two away. It's Ryan Horvath. I'm Bart Winkler. This is Greg in New Berlin at 414-799-1250. Greg.
Good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
Hey, I love baseball. I love this time of the year. Sometimes I get a little too negative. I think I use my football mentality on baseball. We miss Wade Miley. I loved him. Obviously, we've had some injuries. Chacin isn't what he used to be, at least last year. But you know what? I got a good feeling, baby. Remember last fall when we were there? And we were playing the Dodgers. We've solidified second base. I think I love Grandal behind the plate. We still have issues at first base, and of course our starting pitching and our relief pitching needs help, just like everybody in the league. Let's hang in there, boys.
What do you think we do need?
We need a starting pitcher.
Yeah. I hope one's available.
Yeah, and...
like a good one.
Don't want to sell off the farm, of course. You know, I'm sure that there are people that are looking for us, and, you know, we were loaded in the minors, and now they say that we're kind of a little depleted. And, you know, some clubs, like they say, the Yankees have a lot to give up. Well, let them give them up. I look back at where what we got when we gave up somebody a couple of years ago. We got four pretty good players. Oh, we gave up Tyler Thornburg, right?
Yeah.
We got some pretty good things.
Shaw, Dubon, those are the big guys. One guy retired, and then the other, I don't know where he went, but at least Shaw and Dubon.
Here's what we need to do. We get Perez back. I really think he should have been with the team. Send Saladino down and bring Perez back. He's the glue.
Greg, thanks for the call. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. I would put it at a... It was hard to tell. I would put a 20% chance that was Jim Paschke.
20? I'm going 80%. I thought he was going to start breaking down Malcolm Brogdon here. Well, we're going to miss Malcolm Brogdon.
If not, Greg, you've got...
Great in the community.
It's not just the voice. It was the cadence.
He had great cadence, though.
Yeah, I caught Paschke's cadence a little bit on that one.
So when you talk about selling, you are talking about two of the best bats in the lineup. And so a name that I saw, Chase Anderson, I'd be fine with that. I don't think anybody wants Chacin. I mean, he hasn't won a start in his last 10. He hasn't won a game since, what, April 30th, something like that? He's 0-10 in his last 10 starts. Well, not 0-10, but he hasn't won one.
No, and I think...
He's got an ERA at almost 6.
And we broke this down a little bit on the On Deck show last night, and Tim Allen and Billy Schmidt are both going to be with us to close the show. We're going to go commercial-free for the last half hour. Think of it as like a podcast.
Like a rock block.
Yeah, we're going to do...
Four Metallica songs.
We're going to do a rock block at the last half hour, as long as we time everything out right. So that'll be... Otherwise, the first hour of the Bill Michaels show is going to be 30 minutes of commercials.
What? I didn't say anything. Get me in trouble.
But anyway... I think we can, because of the three wins in a row, and they are four games over 500, and they are two back. I think the word sell, I think we could take that out for probably now. This was an important stretch of baseball. They rebounded against the Braves, and then now you've started off well against the Diamondbacks. Even if you lose the rest of the series, you're still going to be over 500 with about a week to go to the deadline. So unless they truly collapse next week, I think you can start to curtail the word sell. What I would still be is open. I would still be open. If someone calls Stearns on Mike Moustakas, don't just hang up. Listen to what they have to offer, because they could be offering you a pitcher and a reliever for Mike Moustakas.
Both?
And change. And like a Lucas Ersig or a Zach Brown or whatever. But I think that there could be some creative moves done. Now, the likelihood that they trade Moustakas or Grandal is about less than 1%. I'm just saying, keep everything open.
Well, right, because if the postseason were to start today, the Brewers would be in the big dance. They're the second wild card spot after last night. So that's, I just feel like some people aren't, and I know nobody wants to play in that wild card game, but it's better than the alternative. So I just say you stand pat, you get a starting pitcher, and man, I don't want to hear any more slander towards Madison Bumgarner being finished, because last night he looked really good. Really good. That's the name that I'm looking at on there.
Are you in with me on the Giants yet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm...
They've won 6 in a row.
You know, I'm pretty high right now.
2.5 back of the Brewers.
I'm pretty high on the Giants right now. That's why I don't think they trade Madison Bumgarner or Will Smith, to tell you the truth.
The Brewers made them buyers.
Right. I mean, well, they started this streak. I mean, they're playing pretty good going into the All-Star break. But, yeah, coming out of the break and taking the series at Miller Park definitely helped them out. But even, like, the teams I'm high on right now are actually the Nationals, who are creeping up on the Braves, beat the Braves last night. I'm high on the Giants right now. I'm joining the bandwagon with you. And then the Indians. So when I hear all this trade talk about potentially Trevor Bauer, I just don't see that happening either, because they're right there in the rearview mirror of the Minnesota Twins now. So I don't know that Bauer or Bumgarner get moved. And I'm with you. I'm not selling the farm. Maybe Stroman. I would take Stroman, and you get the control. And that brings my aunt to Milwaukee, meaning I get chicken and waffles pretty much every other morning.
Because she's Stroman's cook?
Personal chef, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, they went to the Hamptons together, and he takes care of her. He brings his family out. Seems like a good dude. I would take Marcus Stroman. And you look at his ERA, that's pitching in the American League. And the teams that he's facing, I'll take that in the National League any day. So Stroman, with control, I would take. But I don't think Bumgarner's going to be out there. I doubt Syndergaard actually gets traded. And I don't know why the Indians would want to move Bauer when, like I said, there's a good chance they end up winning that division. I don't trust Minnesota. Do you?
The Twins?
Yeah.
I haven't watched them enough. I just know that they were hitting a ton of home runs, and every tweet I would see from a Twins fan said, you know, Bash Brothers 2019 or Murderers Row 2019, and I haven't seen any of that kind of stuff in a month.
Well, same with the Rays.
I'm not really sure what the Twins have been up to.
Same with the Rays.
Looks like some 500 ball as of late.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to even itself out. It's going to be the Red Sox, it's going to be the Yankees, and it's going to be the Astros, the teams that you have to worry about in the AL. I just feel like I was all high on the Rays, and then yesterday they get beat both games of a doubleheader again, and yeah, it's going to be the Yankees and the Red Sox, unfortunately.
So if you didn't stay up again, the Brewers do get the victory last night, 5-1 over the Diamondbacks. They're back at it later tonight again. We'll have the on-deck show for you, 7:30, once again here on The Fan. The Giants beat the Mets in 16 innings. I know I've talked a lot about the Giants this week, the San Francisco Giants on a Milwaukee sports talk station. I know that I've done that this week, and I really am becoming self-conscious and self-aware of it. But I kind of look at the Giants, and I've started to take it personal because they're like the underdogs, and they're doing what they shouldn't be doing. And I look at myself, and I see myself in the Giants. Because when I brought up earlier this week that the Giants could end up being buyers and have a play at this thing, I was laughed off and disregarded. Just like personally in my career, I've been laughed off and disregarded. And here we are. And so I look at the Giants continuing to be where they're not supposed to be, and I see myself in the Giants. So I am going to keep bringing them up as long as they keep winning, because I do look at them and see it, and I kind of take it personal. And when the Giants win, I'm going to add everybody that doubted the Giants. Look, I know that talking about the Giants on Milwaukee is stupid, but I just feel like they're me. They're the underdog. I'm the underdog. You know, your dad didn't grow up listening to me for 20 years. I didn't play a sport professionally, and yet here I am, constantly being told that I couldn't be here, and now here I am, and I feel like that's what I see in the San Francisco Giants. I am like if your friend was on the radio. That's what I am. That's what I feel like. That's what we do here at The Fan. And so I feel like if I'm your friend on the radio, the Giants are my friend in baseball. So I will continue, despite having roots here and being here and loving our teams, I will continue to harp on the San Francisco Giants until it gets so annoying that neither of us are in contention anymore.
You really think the Giants are underdogs? You consider them underdogs, though? They won the World Series in 2010, 2012, 2014.
Every time I bring up the Giants, I can hear people rolling their eyes.
One person rolled their eyes, your co-host, Chuck Freeman, and since then, you've just been
personal.
On this warp. Yeah, you should be a social media or some sort of ambassador. You should be the Drake of the San Francisco Giants.
Be.
Sit on third base line, go out there every once in a while, give the third base coach a nice massage, get in the heads of, I don't know, the Mets.
They did formally make him a brand ambassador for one day, if memory serves.
Yeah, for the Brewers, they did, one day.
I'm talking about the Giants, though.
Oh, no, the Giants have not done that.
You could go work out in San Francisco. We got some ties around here. We got Joe Fortenbaugh and those guys on some
My
of these
brother.
Shows every other day. San Francisco, oh, yeah.
Works for, yeah, the Warriors moved over the Bay.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good... That'd be a good tag team.
How about that?
Warriors and the Giants. You guys would be in full control over there.
Giants did win. I stayed up to the 13th inning last night. It ended up going 16 between them and the Mets. Did stay up for the Brewer game as we talk about that. They win 5-1. Some of the other stuff you might have missed yesterday, the British Open, the Open Championship, still in contention. Some big movers again today, and the favorites starting to, outside of Rory McIlroy, the favorites starting to be where they should be. And J.R. Smith at Cobb's Custard yesterday, but it was where he was before that. It's got everybody riled up. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
I just practiced before the majors. regular tournaments, I don't practice. If you see me on TV, that's when I play golf.
That's Brooks Koepka. Man, how do you not like that guy? Currently 5-under on the 18th in the Open Championship. That's good for... Was it third place or fourth place? I'm going to say fourth place because there's two guys tied for first. And then there's another guy in third. Okay, so he would be in fourth. So Tommy Fleetwood and J.B. Holmes, currently your leaders, 7-under. Cameron Smith, 6-under. Koepka and Spieth and Tony Finau are all 5-under tied, yes, for fourth place. A lot of guys yet to tee off. Your leaderboard from yesterday was Shane Lowry and Alex Noren and Webb Simpson and Sergio Garcia. Those guys yet to tee off. Did Rory do a little better today, or is he still struggling? Rory McIlroy, is he still in a bad spot right now? Rory was 8-over yesterday, and how far down the leaderboard do I have to go? He isn't teed off yet. He'll tee off in a little bit. Tiger Woods, though, not a good day for him yesterday. He is 1-under for the day, but he was 6-over yesterday, and he's saying Ryan Horvat, Bart Winkler, Chuck's back on Monday. He just doesn't have it physically anymore. He may have put everything that he had into that Masters win, and now the rest of the year is just going to be junk from him.
And I'm fine with that. I kind of expected that, to tell you the truth. It just looked like it took a lot out of him. He's getting a little bit older. I don't think the CBD gummies are helping him, as he said. The new diet doesn't look to be helping him, or Phil, for that case. But yeah, I just, you know, and that's what we're going to see from Tiger. That's why I'm glad we got that Masters run, to tell you the truth, because we saw this a couple years ago when he had the bad back and he was constantly injured, and then it was kind of a mental thing. I'm glad that for Tiger, it seems like he's like at peace almost, like he's happy mentally, though. And I feel like that gives us a shot to maybe see a run like he had at the Masters, you know, once every year. Maybe he'll win a major, or at least be in the running on the final day, but we can't expect. I think a lot of people got excited after the Masters that, oh, Tiger's back. I don't know, because Tiger's just not Brooks Koepka. He's not, you know, even Spieth or Rory. He's not that age anymore. He's older, and even Rory's getting a little bit older at this point. He's in his 30s now, so I'm glad that we got that Masters gold jacket for Tiger, but I wouldn't expect any more.
I mean, listen to this again from Brooks Koepka.
I just practice before the majors. Regular tournaments, I don't practice. If you see me on TV, that's when I play golf.
So basically, he doesn't practice. His tournaments are his practice.
Yeah, he's like, you guys are all nerds. Go out there on the, you know, and I'll be here bench pressing and picking up chicks on Tinder. Like, he's just like the ultimate. Like, he doesn't seem like he fits in, right? Like, you ever seen Happy Gilmore? He's like Shooter McGavin. Or he's like Happy Gilmore, I should say. And everybody else is like Shooter McGavin, taking golf so serious. And he just goes out there and does his thing. And I think that's why he's on such a hot streak, to tell you the truth. Because you watch Rory, you look at Spieth, you look at some of these other guys, and they take themselves so seriously out there, you know. Whereas Koepka, he's just kind of a cool dude. He's just out there doing his thing. He's like, man, if I'm already rich, I mean, I've already won majors. I have the money, so I'm going to go out here, and if I play good, I play good. If I don't, I'll be here again.
Do you look at him as the villain in golf?
I do, yeah. I hated Koepka, to tell you the truth, up until this year. He kind of grew on me a little bit. I watched that one-on-one interview with him and Faraday on the Golf Channel, and it was great because both of those guys just love themselves. The egos in that room were tremendous. And I was like, you know what? I like this guy. He reminds me a little bit of myself. He doesn't care what you think about him. He's a young dude out there with a bunch of old farts. And, yeah, I mean, I became a fan. But I would consider him, yeah, the villain.
Patrick Reed could be the other guy.
Everybody hates Patrick Reed.
Well, because he wears Tiger Red on Sunday.
Yeah. Like, the names, like, you talked about that leaderboard right there, and I'm looking at this leaderboard, like, Fleetwood, J.B. Holmes. Could it be more boring? This is what golf does not want. You do not want Tommy Fleetwood in the running in a major.
Yeah,
tournament.
But Brooks Koepka used to be, like, one of those names, didn't he? And then he won a bunch of majors.
Even Jordan Spieth, remember? Everybody was talking about Phil and Tiger, and then all of a sudden it was like, who is this Spieth guy? And same with Rory. It's like, we thought those guys were going to have a chance to maybe one day be like the next Tiger Woods and continue to win majors. And there's just so much competition, so much parity in golf. All these guys are good.
Can I ask a question of both of you? Because every golf instructor I've ever had has insisted to me, if you don't get out and practice at least 3 or 4 times a week, like, you will be god-awful. You will be horse manure on the court. And this is a professional golfer saying he doesn't practice and prep. Do you believe that? Or
no.
Is that just like an alpha move? Like, nah, I don't practice. Just like he left Tiger Woods on red and all that stuff, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not fully buying it. I feel like he probably does go out there a little bit more than he's letting on, but
there's no way, right? I mean, he can't not practice.
I don't know, though, man. Some people are just naturally talented like that.
Yeah, but golf is not a sport like that where you can just be a physical freak. It's one of those baseball-type sports where it's about touch and swing and practice. Like, Bart, do you buy into that?
I think that if he gets to the point here where he's dominating, why mess that up? You know, sometimes these guys over-practice.
Tiger.
Sometimes, yeah, Tiger, they overcommit. Tiger was asked yesterday about how he did feel.
Did you feel physically okay out there? You looked as though you might be grimacing a little bit. Were you physically all right?
Depends how you ask that question.
We're in pain.
I'm sore. Yes, yeah, I'm sore.
He's old.
Yeah, when he's laughing after having a day like that, you know Tiger's just kind of accepted where he's at this point of his life. Because imagine Tiger getting asked that question 8 to 10 years ago. He would have flipped out and probably threw that reporter to the ground if he wasn't, you know. Tiger might not make the cut.
I'm not 24 anymore. Life changes, life moves on, and I can't devote, as I've told you guys this many times, I can't devote the hours to practice like I used to.
Picking up chicks?
You know, stand on the range, hit balls for 4 or 5 hours, go play 36, come back, run 4 or 5 miles, then go to the gym. Those days are gone.
The projected cut is +1. Tiger Woods is currently at +6.
Six, right? Yeah.
So
he's not making the cut.
Yeah, he's probably done for the weekend. Gary Woodland, who was another guy that we didn't know about and then fell in love with, he's +3. He's yet to go today. Francisco Molinari's +3. Zach Johnson +3. And now I'm just reading the leaderboard, which you guys all have the capabilities of doing. So I will stop doing that. So you have a guy like Brooks Koepka who says he doesn't practice yet. Chuck Freeman's out on the golf course yesterday, and he'll be back on Monday doing 36 holes.
Right. Michael Jordan used to play 36 holes before a basketball game.
Why?
Some of these guys are they're wired differently. Like, Freems is wired differently.
But Freems didn't start golfing until he was 40.
Well, I think that's maybe why. Now he's got a lot of time to make up for, right? And the thing about Freems is he's just a warrior. He comes in. That guy doesn't sleep. He doesn't sleep. If he does, he like sleeps upside down like a bat or something. Because he comes in here. He's in here at like 4:30, 5 a.m. working on his sports flashes. And then he leaves around like 10 a.m. He's at Miller Park. And he's at Miller Park till like 1 a.m. Then he just does it all over again. And if he's not at Miller Park, he's not at work, he's on the golf course playing like exactly 36 holes. He's draped in sweat. Guy's a freak.
Like, if I'm going to take a day off in the summer, I'm going to sit in the air conditioning. I am not going to go play 36 holes, and he's going to do it again today. And that's his day off. When I do 18, and I always take a cart, I never walk, but when I do 18 by the 13th hole, I mean, I'm ready to just be done, and I'm 3 vodka lemonades in, and I'm just ready to, that's it for the day.
Yeah, I don't golf. See, that's the thing. Why I hated golf in the beginning, because I like to compete, like whether it's bags, you know, softball, I want to win. Golf, I just want to drink, to tell you the truth. I'm so bad, and my friends are so good. I have buddies that played golf in college. I got a buddy that went to Florida Gulf Coast, and he plays golf every single day of his life, and he's way too damn good to go with, but we go, and so some days I just, you know, and if I'm shooting really bad, I'll just sit in the cart, like after hole 10.
Yeah.
You know, I'm done.
Yeah, give me an 8.
These guys are competing. They're playing like $250 a hole. I'm on scores and odds, like looking at, you know, Pac-12 futures. Well, Arizona State, you know, I don't know. They do return their head coach. So I just treat it as fun. I wanted to ask you this, Bart. How much golf can you actually watch in a weekend? Like, you know, like in the Masters.
Oh,
okay?
the
Tigers in contention.
The championships, the majors, I'll watch the whole thing.
The entire week?
I can watch.
Or just the entire weekend?
The majors I get into, I can watch the whole thing, especially on the weekends. I can watch start to finish because you get wrapped up. I mean, I think the more golf you watch, the more golf you can watch.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so we'll flip on the ABC audio flat panels, ABC audio video flat panels here. And I'm kind of, you know, we're doing a show, but I've got my eye on the golf every now and then. I'll see Koepka, or now I just saw Tiger, and I don't really know what's going on. I got to look at the leaderboard, to see that J.B. Holmes is 8-under. But I think all of the networks that carry golf do such a good job of telling that story. And so when you're watching a major, you're learning that story, and it could be a guy's first major or Tiger's Redemption Tour. If it's just like the Buick Sonata Championship, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
You know, I can't get into that.
Yeah.
But the majors are a completely different thing to me. So I will. I mean, I'll wake up tomorrow. I'll turn this on right away. Sunday is just going to be this for me. So that the major tournaments, I completely get into.
Same here. I watch the Masters. I watch the Open. But the thing is I do check the leaderboard to see how much attention I'm going to pay, if that makes sense. I like Koepka. I watch Spieth or Rory or Tiger or Phil. You know, even Jason Day. There's certain guys that I want to watch when they're in contention. Like Justin Rose is 4-under, so I'll pay attention to him. But, you know, with J.B. Holmes and Tommy Fleetwood, and I just really don't care. That's the best part about having an iPhone and living in the social media world, is that I'll just kind of scroll through the leaderboard, watch the highlights. I don't dedicate my whole weekend if I don't care about who.
Well, the other thing I like about golf is that I can watch it and appreciate the sport and not be wrecked at the end of it. Like right. For the Brewers, you know, even a three-hour game, like if I stayed up for the game last night, Brewers win 5-1. If I stay up for that game and I'm making the point to stay up on a day where I've got to get up the next morning and they lose,
yeah,
I feel like it was a complete waste of time, even though I need to see what happened to talk about it with you guys the next day. I mean, you feel that way as a fan, too. It's a waste of time when you stay up and you lose. And just this week, we were talking about the 2014 NFC Championship game, and the Bucks had their collapse, and the Brewers had their failures. And you watch these games, and you get invested, and the end result most of the time is, what did I do that for? I actually like sports less. With golf, because I'm not committed to any guy. Yeah, I like Tiger, like we all do. Yeah, I like Spieth, and Koepka is amusing. But I'm not like... There's no golfer that I truly hate. I'm not wrecked when a guy, you know, wins. So for the unless I, again, put money on it. But right. For the most part, I can just watch it to appreciate the sport. And that's really, right now, the only avenue of sport I have the opportunity to do that in.
Yeah, I'm definitely a casual fan where I like the favorites. Like, I like the big names. And it's sad to say, but it's the truth. Like, I used to get into the underdogs, right? Like, let's say, like, Justin Leonard's in contention day one. But now even the underdogs, it's like, look at this guy, has never won a major tournament. And then they show his wife, and she's like a Brazilian model. And then you just remember the fact that he's worth like $15 million and gets to golf for a living. I'm like, this guy's not an underdog. He's rich. His wife is just, you know, she just won Miss America, Miss Italy, something like that, like 2-3 years ago. So these guys aren't underdogs. If I could be any profession, I think, on this planet, it would be professional golfer. Is there a better life?
I don't know. I mean, it'd be hard. Like Tiger's... Tiger can't move.
Hard. Radio's hard.
Yeah, but physically, I'm still, like, fine.
Tiger can't move because Tiger put himself in military... Tiger screwed Tiger. He put himself in those military workouts. He was playing 36 holes of golf and then playing 36 holes off the, you know, off the course as well. I mean, he was all over the place. Guy was just living a lifestyle like a 19-year-old. So I think Tiger did that to himself. I mean, look at Phil. Phil's taking pretty good care of himself. He's had some injuries here and there.
Yeah, okay. I guess Phil, who admittedly says he's fat.
He also lives a pretty crazy lifestyle, too.
I think that's the first time anyone's ever said Phil Mickelson takes good care of himself.
Yeah, I know. I immediately took it back when I remember he lent out his wife to Michael Jordan for a week.
J.B. Holmes is your leader at the Open, 8-under. You have to go all the way down to the bottom to see David Duval, plus 20 yesterday. David Duval had a 14 on a hole yesterday, a 91. He made a triple bogey, he made a quadruple bogey, and then that 14. In the 14 was a two-stroke penalty. He played the wrong ball, and then he had two other penalties because he lost his ball. It was a long day, a rough day, as quoted from David Duval.
Yeah, my second favorite Duval, next to Robert.
Sometimes, you know, that sucks for him, but sometimes it's nice to know that these guys get affected by this game and love hate it as much as we might.
Right, love, I could be 20 over.
Love, hate, that's a good way to look at what some people are thinking about this J.R. Smith situation. J.R. Smith in Milwaukee. And if you come to Milwaukee to sit down with the Bucks to talk contract and it doesn't work out, we probably don't see you. He was at Cops Custard yesterday.
I was there the night before.
Ah, is he going to go out with Bucks security for a burger if he doesn't have the plan to sign? And I know we're talking about the 14th guy on the bench, but J.R. Smith riling people up. Not on this show. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!